So we're speaking today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 15th chapter, or fifth chapter, and text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na Vaijano Jatukatancha Navrajen. Na Vaijano Jatukatancha Navrajen. Mukunda Sevyan Yavad Anga Samsritim. Mukunda Sevyan Yavad Anga Samsritim. Smaran Mukundhangri Upaguhanam Punar. Smaran Mukundhangri Upaguhanam Punar. Vihatum ichchen narasagraho jannaha. Vihatum ichchen narasagraho jannaha. Prabhuji's?
Do however you like. Yeah.
Na vaijano jatu katancha navrajen. Mukunda sevyan vyavad anga samsritim. Smadan mukundam vriya upaguhanam punar. Vihatu michchen narasagraho janah. Navajano jatu katancha navrajen. Mukunda sevyan vyavad anga samsritim. Smadan mukundam rupaguhanam punar. Vihatu michchen narasagraho janah. Navaijano jatu katancha navrajen. Mukunda sevyan vyavad anga samsritim. Smadan mukundam rupaguhanam punar. Vihatu michchen narasagraho janah. Navaijano jatu katancha navrajen. Mukunda sevyam vayad angra sangritim. Smaran mutunga mukundangri upaguhanam punar. Vihatu michchen narasagraho janah. Matajis? Navaijano jatu katancha navrajen. Mukunda sevyan yavad anga samsritim. Smaran mutungang mutung. Vihatu michchen narasagraho janah. न Navajano jatu katanchana vrajan Mukunda sevyan yavad anga samsritim Smadan mukundangriya upaguhanam punar Vihatumichchanadasagrahojanaha. Okay, word meanings. Na,
na.
Never.
Vai,
vai. Certainly.
Janaha,
janaha.
A person.
Jatu, at any time.
Katanchana,
somehow or other.
Avrajet,
does not undergo.
Mukundasevi,
the devotee of the Lord.
Anyavat,
like others.
Anga,
oh my dear.
Samsritim,
material existence.
Smadan,
remembering.
Mukunda Angri,
the lotus feet of the Lord.
Upaguhanam,
embracing.
Punaha,
again.
Vihatum,
willing to give up.
Ichchet,
desire.
Na,
never.
Rasagraha,
one who has relished the mellow.
Janaha,
person.
Translation,
my dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like other fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Please repeat after me.
My dear Vyas,
even though a devotee
of Lord Krishna
sometimes falls down,
somehow or other,
he certainly does not
undergo material existence
like others,
fruitive workers, etc.
Because a person
who has once relished
the taste of the lotus feet
of the Lord
can do nothing
but remember that ecstasy
again and again.
Srila Prabhupada's purport.
A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasa graha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruitive workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The suffering of an orphan and the suffering of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruit of workers. The fruit of workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is the sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulences of the three worlds. Om Agyanti Medandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshudun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gudo Shri Utapata Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Dhupam Sagrajatam Saganadaganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ledita Shdivashakan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Kudana Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Dadha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadadu Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyae Vacha Padiranam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So in material life, we are judged by how much of Krishna's opulence we can accumulate, his strength, his wealth, his knowledge, his fame. And materialists are mad after somehow or other grabbing this. In fact, it's desperate. This is devotees look at the oncoming of death and feel, I need to surrender to Krishna. Materialists look at the temporary nature of life and feel, I need to struggle and fight to my utmost power, right, to the very sinews and bones in my body, to somehow or other accumulate opulence. Because if I can, that's success of life, right? Then I'll be happy. The soul desires to be happy, right? It's the very nature of the soul. And within material existence, our illusion, our maya, is that we envision the various dreams of this world, the opulences of this world, that they'll give us happiness. Not Krishna. If somehow or other we can accumulate and hold the opulences of this world, we'll be satisfied. The soul will be happy. The misery will stop, right? In material existence, we're constantly undergoing misery and suffering. Anyone else here experience that? And the materialistic conception is that if I just somehow or other attain wealth, strength, knowledge, fame, right, all of these things, then all of the misery and suffering will go away. And so for materialists, this is their fanatical desire. Just as we may focus on Krishna or try to serve Krishna, that's where their devotion is going, right, with an intensity and a very strong faith. And yet these things are temporary and they never give us satisfaction. But nevertheless, a materialist, everybody is sort of judging themselves and weighing their position in the world according to how much opulence they can accumulate, right? The more opulence you can accumulate, the greater person you are. Whereas devotees, it's quite a bit different. The more advanced you are in devotional service, the more detached you are from material reality. The more you've surrendered and let go of material attachments. And that's infinitely more difficult for the conditioned soul than acquiring opulences, right? Than accumulating things, than making money. Giving up attachment to material existence is so much harder. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes in previous purports, excuse me, manushyanam sahasrisu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Right, it's very rare for a person to actually make it in spiritual life, to actually go up into the higher reaches of Krishna consciousness ultimately, because that requires that you let go of all material attachments. So as we progress in devotional service, there's a great struggle within us. Right? Are we willing to give up material attachments in the service of Krishna? Or are we going to be tempted by material attachments and leave Krishna Krishna consciousness and chase after the material opulences, right? Are we going to put our faith in Krishna and surrender everything for His glory and His greatness in the service of Guru? Or are we going to have faith in the materialistic path and just run away from Krishna, run scrambling towards the material world, whatever time we have left, let me just work really hard and accumulate a bunch of money and wealth and power and beauty as much as possible, and then I hope that I can get one particle of happiness. Then maybe the suffering and misery of life will finally cease, right? And so in this section, Srila Narada Muni is glorifying devotional service and explaining how even if a devotee is drawn away by this illusion, which this illusion is everywhere, everyone practically, unless you're advanced in devotional service, is struggling with this and is tempted by this. Right? Everyone is tempted away from Krishna by Maya. And so Narada is explaining that devotional service is so great that Krishna always keeps you within His hands. Even for the devotee that leaves devotional service, there is no such thing ultimately as leaving devotional service, because Krishna has your back. Right? Krishna is there for you. He's with you. And He'll never leave you. Even if you try to leave Him, there's no way that He will abandon you. You see? And there's two different types of people, kind of explained in this purport, two different types of devotees who leave Krishna consciousness. One receives the special mercy of Krishna, like extra special mercy, and one is just sort of regular. And so for the regular person who leaves Krishna consciousness, it's kind of like you're drawn away by attachment to material life. And Prabhupada mentions here and in other places, the primary cause is bad association. And we could speak about that just on its own. But because of bad association, we're tempted by Maya and drawn away. And so for many devotees, you leave devotional service, and somehow or other, you just try to absorb in material nature and totally forget Krishna. And, unless Krishna is extra merciful, you may be successful. And somehow or other, it may take some time, could even take years, but you can drive the remembrance of Krishna out of you. You can forget the holy name, forget Srimad Bhagavatam, stop following the regulative principles, and somehow just immerse yourself completely with full faith in material practice, right, in material life. And so for such devotees, then you will leave your body and then you take birth again. And as we hear in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, you're given a nice position in material life in your next body. Shuchinan Srimatam Gehe. Be born in a family of learned brahmanas or in a family of wealthy aristocrats. And the purpose of this is so that when you again become attracted to the yogic principles, which you will, right? Your previous practice, your yoga, will drive you to again become attracted to spiritual life. But because you're born in this kind of nice situation, it's not so hard for you. Right? Like if you're born in a struggling condition, then you just have to worry about making money and you have to worry about somehow putting food in your mouth that day or somehow, stopping the water from running into your shanty. Right? And so in such a life, it's very difficult. There's so many pressures. It's hard to take up spiritual life. So therefore, Maya, by Krishna's arrangement, will put you into a situation where you have a relatively easy life. You'll be born to a family of rich yoga teachers in Pacific Palisades or something like that, right? And you grow up as a vegetarian, doing yoga on the beach, and you're surrounded by, wealth and happiness, and it's all very nice, right? You have your own giant room looking out over the ocean where you can do yoga on your balcony or something. And so, but for such a life, it provides you an opportunity that when you come across Krishna consciousness again, or when you come across Vaishnavism again, you'll be attracted and there'll be not as many impediments, right? But there's another type of devotee, which probably many of the devotees in this room can expect to get the special mercy of Krishna. Right? If you've practiced devotional service very seriously at one time, right? If you've come before Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish and you've prayed to them sincerely with all of your heart that you want to surrender, then Krishna is not going to let you go so easily. Right? And there's kind of a warning in these verses that, you may leave devotional service completely. Try to forget Krishna. Try to give up all of your service to Guru. Forget your Guru. Right? Forget everything. Just let me live in peace. Right? Let me just live in the peace of material existence. Yeah? But Krishna is not going to let that happen. And you see, sometimes devotees feel like, you know, okay, that's it. I'm done with Krishna consciousness. It's finished. Now I'm free, right? Now I'm going to go and I'm confident of my knowledge, my abilities, my strength. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to become a millionaire, right? It's only going to take a couple years. Then all the Vaishnavas will see, you know, who they've been messing with all these years, right? They'll see that actually I'm a great qualified person, and finally the Vaishnavas will bow down and offer their reverences, right? They'll see how great I am because I've gone out in material world and I've made it. I've been successful. I'm wealthy now, right? I pull up in a very expensive car and, you know, honk at the devotees. Hare Krishna, Prabhus. See you later. Right? So sometimes we think that we're going to leave spiritual life and just become successful materialists, but Krishna, he doesn't let that happen. There you go. Confirmed by the Lord, right? So what he does is, instead of coming back in your expensive Lamborghini to show all the devotees your glories, you'll come crawling back in rags. You'll come back with band-aids and bruises and scratches. You'll look like a heavyweight champion, you know, who fell down. Right? And so you'll come crawling back to Krishna consciousness because you'll have nothing. Prabhupada mentions, not only will Krishna make it so that you fail materially, but he'll even take away everything that you had before, right? All those things that you thought were so small and so little and you wanted more, he'll take away even that. Even your family and relatives will disown you, Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So, I mean, you know, what is it? I mean, we can kind of extrapolate from that. That doesn't just mean a loss of wealth. That means like a tragedy in your life, you know? That means like total devastation, humiliation. You can do something scandalous, you know, where even you lose respect for yourself, right? You're very proud and you're thinking you're going to be a strong materialist. Krishna can make it so that you are even ashamed to look in the mirror, right? I mean, that's a very heavy thing, right? And so, but the reason Krishna does this is so that you will again have the proper consciousness. He's rectifying your consciousness of total dependence upon him. You know those moments when you're really sincere towards Krishna and you're just praying with all of your heart, please Krishna, let me surrender to you and serve you. Krishna wants to bring you back to that position. He wants to bring you back to that moment, right? And that's the most important moments we have, right? Like we have a life, you know, supposedly it's supposed to be 100 years. In Kali Yuga, it's usually probably around 60, especially if you're a man, you know, you're lucky to live 60 to 70 years old. But those the most important moments in our life, those things that were actual wealth, that were actual opulence, are those few moments when we're brought to a position of true humility before Krishna and a true desire to serve Guru and Krishna with no personal motivation. Right? And so Krishna wants us to be in those moments. He wants us to be like that constantly. Because if we're able to capture that moment, that feeling, that sincerity, and we're able to remain within that consciousness, then the more we're able to do that, we go back to Godhead, right? And that's what Krishna wants for us. He wants us to leave the material world even more than we want to enjoy it, right? Even greater than all of our attachment to material existence is Krishna's desire for us to come back to the spiritual world, to enter into Vrindavan and play with him, right? And enjoy with him eternally as his servant. And so those few moments when we have that sincerity, Krishna wants us to always be in that consciousness. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport today, towards the end, in a very beautiful sort of conclusion, that, you know, if the way that you overcome this attachment to material existence, this thing which is pulling us away from Krishna, this darkness which is covering our eyes, right, this illusion which is causing us to renounce and give up that true feeling of sincere, loving service to Krishna, is we can counteract that by two things. One is by philosophical understanding, and the other is by performing sincere service, right? And what's mentioned in this particular purport and in this section is that, as far as philosophical understanding, Narada Muni's mentioning that we have to understand that the material happiness and distress we experience, it's our karmic destiny, right? whatever you're experiencing as a devotee, sometimes we feel, you know, I'm overwhelmed with misery, I'm overwhelmed with suffering, I have to somehow leave devotional service, right? Because it's devotional service which is causing my misery, it's causing my suffering. You know, if I just get out there in the material world and just fight hard, all my misery will go away. I'll be able to find a situation where I'll be happy. But Narada Muni's reminding us, no, my dear Vaishnavas, remember that it's your karma which is causing that suffering. Yeah, some of us, even if you're, we could see, we live here in Los Angeles, there's so many celebrities and millionaires and actors, actresses, and they have fame, they have beauty, they have opulences that we can't even imagine, wealth, and yet they're actually miserable, even more miserable than sometimes people that are living and homeless on the street. Right? I used to do Food for Life, and you know, I'd see homeless people, not the ones that are drug-addled or mentally ill, but just people sort of going through various stages of life, and they seemed very joyful. It's like they weren't really suffering. Even though they had nothing, in their mind was peaceful, their mind was happy. And that's their karma. They have that karmic destiny to be happy. Right? And happiness and distress is ultimately in the mind. It's how you experience whatever is going on around you. So you could have an external situation where it's absolutely, there's no reason for happiness. But if you have the karmic destiny to be happy, you'll be happy in that situation. Whereas you could have all the material opulences in the world, but if your karmic destiny is to suffer, you'll suffer miserably in the midst of those opulences. And that's what all these wealthy people in these giant mansions in Beverly Hills, they're actually within their minds, many of them are suffering in a tormented existence. In fact, a lot of them are addicted to drugs and pills and so many different things just to cope with all the suffering, and it just makes it worse, right? So it's not your external situation, Narada Muni reminds us. It's your karma. And so if you're suffering, that will come and that will go. Matra sparshasta kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukkha. And the happiness will come of its own accord. You don't need to strive and work and leave your spiritual life to find material happiness. If you're destined to have happiness, it'll come to you in whatever condition you're living. Okay? So that's the first spiritual point. And then there's the second point, as Prabhupada makes in the purport, that if we serve Krishna in pure devotional service, right? Like whatever we have to do. For example, we all have a day of a devotional service ahead of us. Whatever it is you have to do, try to do it for Krishna's pleasure. It's a meditation. You try to make Krishna happy with your service, as well as with your hearing and chanting. Try to absorb in Krishna. You know, while you're doing your service today, if you can, try to hear about Krishna. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Swaminas Amala Bhakta Swami. It's given so many of these beautiful narrations. There's Srila Prabhupada's lectures. There's so many things to actually listen to. If we absorb our mind in Krishna while doing service, and if we do that service with the mood that we want to please Krishna, we want to give Krishna, the cowherd boy, Nanda Maharaja's son, if we want to give him happiness, we want to make him feel pleasure through our actions, then you will experience a higher taste. Padam drishtva nivartate. There'll be happiness there. So even if you have the karmic destiny to be miserable, which most of us do in Kali Yuga, it's like 99.9% misery, and then every once in a while there's like a flashing moment of happiness just to taunt you, right? But even if your karmic destiny is to be miserable, if you do service to Krishna with the right attitude, you'll get relief. Yeah? You'll actually feel the happiness of devotional service. And even though we may forget it, we've all experienced it, right? Most of us, at least. There's some experience of Krishna's service. So we should try to do that again. In other words, the Acharyas and Narada Muni, they're reminding us to face this struggle with Maya, this temptation of Maya, with a philosophical understanding. Remind yourself, right, of the truth. And then also engage yourself constantly with a pure devotional attitude towards Krishna, with love and devotion. Try to make Krishna happy, and then you'll experience happiness, and then you'll no longer be tempted by material existence. Okay? So are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. When Srila Prabhupada, he was present on this planet, he has initiated like 10,000 disciples. And after Srila Prabhupada left, many of his disciples fell down. I'm just wondering what will be a destination of those, you know, disciples of Srila Prabhupada who fell down.
Well, Prabhupada mentioned that there's an ISKCON in the heavenly planets, right? So we can assume that, you know, many devotees that leave Krishna consciousness, whatever their position, it depends, you know, if you've been doing devotional service for a short period of time, then you will go to the heavenly planets, come back in Shuchinam Srimatam families. If it's a long period of time, like you're a very sincere devotee and you've served your spiritual master for decades, then you can expect to be born into a family of Dhimatam, right? Those who are learned transcendentalists, you could be born as a Vaishnava. But and also there's the aspect of mercy. You know, you do have many devotees that I've heard stories of. Disciples of Srila Prabhupada, for example, who they may have left Krishna consciousness for whatever reason and been bewildered and struggling and suffering like this for decades on end. But then at the time of death, you know, even I've heard stories where like one devotee was addicted to heroin and was suffering unimaginably and wanted nothing to do with Krishna consciousness or devotees or their spiritual master for the rest of their life. And yet, at the time of death, as it says in this purport, they were abandoned by their friends and family. They were alone in the world, struggling, dying of some sort of disease. And Srila Prabhupada came in their dream and told them, you know, you should go to the Association of Devotees. And then they did. And in the last months of their life in the Association of Devotees, they became fully Krishna conscious again, right to where they left off. You see, so there's the mercy of the spiritual master, especially someone like Srila Prabhupada. You know, his Srila Prabhupada's disciples are not ordinary people. They're fully not only in the hand of Krishna, but in the hand of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. And so therefore, even though there may be some mistake or some forgetfulness, then the spiritual master is very merciful. He loves you very much and he wants to help you. And so he may intervene and somehow or other get you to again come in the Association of Devotees. Okay?
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Mm-hmm. One more?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a good class. You know, Prabhupada mentioned two things that is either special favor or Krishna, you're born in a Brahminical family, as you have mentioned, or in a wealthy family. But what causes and what are the aftermaths? And I just met a very, very good devotee who was in Denver for quite some time. Very strong devotee, very pakka devotee. But now when you even tell Hare Krishna to him, he says hi. You know, it's very difficult even to hear Hare Krishna back from him. But I remember this devotee 4 or 5 years ago, very strong, very pakka, was very devoted. But now you can't even get him to say Hare Krishna. He will not even reciprocate. In what category does that fall under Srila Prabhupada's instructions? And just like Prabhu is saying, what made them go that way and what is Krishna testing? Because, you know, you saw this devotee, very pakka, very strong, very devoted, very engaged for Srila Prabhupada's movement. And now the devotee doesn't even want to say Hare Krishna. What is...
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for that devotee, of course. You know, you'd have to somehow or other ask them. And usually you don't just come up to somebody and ask and say, hey, Prabhu, you know, why are you like this? You know, you have to be their friend and you have to somehow be nice to them. So even if they're so angry, perhaps they're angry at Krishna or they somehow, out of illusion, blame Krishna for their suffering. You know, blame Krishna for something that's happened to them, which is very common, right? Sometimes devotees can do that. And so it's kind of like you become angry at Krishna and you blame Krishna and therefore you feel like you're demonstrating your lack of happiness to Krishna, you know? So, but how to rectify that or even understand it? Well, oftentimes you just have to say hi back, you know? It is a hi. Oh, nice to see you, you know? Like sometimes, you know, you just say a very simple thing. It's nice to see you, Prabhu. I'm very happy to see you, you know? Well, I'm your friend, right? You just show them that you're your friend, that you're their friend, and just show that you support them. And then, you know, if they feel enough people, many people are there, you know, just who care for them, then they're able to push through that dark period, that illusion, right? Like sometimes you can't go directly and help someone with whatever issue, but if you just show that you support them, and then Krishna's also working at it, their guru's also working at it, and then over time, you know, they can get through that particular issue. Okay? All right, thank you very much, Prabhu. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.